Hello, this is Andrew Corbett, and welcome again to our small group Bible study series, How Then Shall We Now Live, based on Romans chapters 13 to 16. This is study number 11, Be Thinking Ahead. It's based on Romans chapter 15, verses 22 to 29. Again, I'd just like to remind you that your small group, whether you're meeting at the start of the day, the middle of the day, or in the evening, it's always nice just to have something that just encourages conversation, whether that be food and drink, which I think I would strongly encourage you to have, whether you're meeting over a meal, whatever it is, and then after that, move into a space whereby you can make this obvious. Now we're actually doing something different. And the different bit is opening with the two questions. What are you thankful for? And what would you like prayer for? And as group leader, just note down those things. Maybe put someone's initials and then next, you know, TF, thankful, PP, prayer point, whatever it is. At the end of the night, you're going to use those prayer points to remind people this is what others have asked prayer for. This study, this lesson, based on Romans chapter 15 and the verses from 22 to 29, be thinking ahead, is sort of a summary of the fact that Paul is now going to forecast his plans. So the opening paragraph, and I encourage you with each of these paragraphs, invite someone in the group to read the paragraph. It just involves them and helps them not to switch off, but to become engaged in the study. It's a good leader technique to do that. The opening paragraph says this: Being a spirit-led Christian does not mean being a whimsical Christian. Some people might call a whimsical Christian a space cadet or a bit loopy, a bit out there, always everything super spiritual. While God's leading often does involve an openness to the Holy Spirit that involves spontaneous action, it's not always like this, and perhaps not usually like this. Paul's comments to the Romans in this passage serve as an encouragement for believers today to be led by the Spirit and to make plans for our futures. Question one, finding the particular will of God for our lives can sometimes seem to some as being like trying to decipher cryptic clues from God. Based on Romans chapter 15, verse 22, which says, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. The question is, should every closed door be interpreted as God's direction? Well, hopefully your answer is going to be no, because Paul said he intends to come to them, but every time he has, it's as if, you know, the door's been shut, he's been hindered. And so eventually he did get there. His plans ultimately did happen. So just because a door closes doesn't mean that's it, end of story, I'm not going to try that again. Sometimes doors close to see your resolve. Just a thought. Let there be a discussion about that. Hopefully it might encourage some to recognize that setbacks aren't always the end of the story. It seems that God's direction for our lives can feel very natural. That is, he places certain goals or dreams into our hearts, which cause us to say things like, one day I would like to visit Rome, as the Apostle Paul did. Or, one day I'm going to run a half marathon. So sometimes those desires are actually an indication of the will of God planted into our hearts. Question two, read Romans chapter 15, verse 23. Which says, but now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you. Now, just that point there, reading that, but since I've longed, I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you. So there's Paul's desire. And note what Paul had been longing to do one day. Well, the one day desire was, one day I want to visit Rome. I want to see you. I want to meet with you. So Paul had a desire that he'd had for a long time. Good leadership is largely about thinking ahead and being prepared ahead of time. Now, if you're a parent who's responsible for children, as I think that's the criteria for being a parent, you're responsible for children, how frustrating is it when your child is, you know, about to head out the door for catch the bus or to get in the car to go to school, and they go, oh, I haven't done my homework. It's like, oh man, how long have you had this homework? About 3 weeks. It's so frustrating. And this is one of the things that parents need to teach their children. Think ahead, plan ahead, get things done ahead of time. Well, that's what leadership really is. So those sorts of exercises are a part of leadership training that parents help with their children. Now, we see Paul's leadership gift at work in his statements to the Romans in Romans chapter 15, verse 24, which says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So we see that Paul actually had an aspiration to do something, and he's making plans. He's thinking ahead. Paul refers to his intention to go to Jerusalem to deliver financial aid to the struggling believers there, based on Romans 15:25, which says, at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem bringing aid to the saints. And saints there aren't the canonized Roman Catholic saints. Saints are simply believers, as they were all referred to as saints in the first century. With this intention stated, Acts 19, verse 21. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So we see that Paul had an intention, that he had plans for the future, and these plans, that his travel plans, at least to go to Rome, that Paul was thinking ahead. And I guess I want us to see, and hopefully you will see in your study tonight, to encourage people and to help them to see that it's a good thing, it's a noble thing, it's even a godly and a spiritual thing to make plans, to think ahead about what you're going to do and where you're going. All right, question three, we see it says this: when Paul reached the coast near Ephesus, he called for the elders of the Ephesian church. Acts chapter 21 verse 4 says this: and having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When they arrived, they felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to warn Paul about something. What did they warn him about? Acts chapter 21, verses 11 to 13. So reading on from that passage, it says this: and coming to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own feet and hands, and said, this is Agabus, by the way, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Then Paul answered, what are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when he arrived, what did they warn him about? They warned him about the affliction, the trouble that awaited him coming up when he arrived in Jerusalem. And Paul's response is very telling. When Paul arrived in Jerusalem, he was arrested by the Romans. This led to him being held without charges for quite some time, as the Romans were not clear on why the Jewish leaders wanted him imprisoned. He eventually appealed to Caesar to hear his case, which was his right as a Roman citizen. Acts chapter 25 verse 11 says, if then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything to which I deserve to die, I do not seek to escape death. But if there is nothing to their charges against me, no one can give me up to them. I appeal to Caesar. Question four. When we walk with Christ, the Holy Spirit guides our steps, even when we don't like them or agree with them, agree with him rather. Even though Paul had made his intentions known, his plans were dramatically changed when he was arrested. Despite these apparent setbacks, what was his outlook based on his statements in Acts 23 verse 11, which says, the following night the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. And Acts 27, verses 23 to 25. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as has been told. So with those statements, what can we learn from this? So Paul was warned not to go. He didn't, you know, he may not have liked what he heard. But yet, when God appeared to him and he heard the voice of God, we see that he was more than prepared to go. He was even excited to go. So we can see here that Paul had, I guess we might call this a heart of worship, that his, even despite the setbacks that he endured, and golly, you know, he was shipwrecked, imprisoned and all the rest of it, yet he still had a heart to follow Christ through this all. Great lesson for us about life's circumstances. The Gentile churches who supported Paul's fundraising for the believers in Jerusalem, Romans chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, which says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. If that reveals something remarkable about how Christians felt about each other, even though they'd never met, and they were scattered across the empire. So here's the Roman, the Greek, the Gentile Christians taking up offerings to give to Paul, to give to the Christians in Jerusalem, whom they'd never met. Question 5, what does this tell us about the kind of attitude we should have toward our brothers and sisters in need who are also in far-flung parts of the world? Well, it says that we're kin, we're brethren, we're family. We should care about them, and if we can, we should help them, even if it means financial aid. Paul's stated intention after visiting Rome was to be sent on his way to take the gospel to Spain, Romans 15, verse 29. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. He never made it. After being held under house arrest in Rome, he was then imprisoned by the Praetorian Guard before being brought before Caesar in AD 64. By this time, Caesar Nero had begun his campaign of persecution against Christians and ordered that Paul be beheaded. Many scholars believe that the references in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, to those who had been beheaded was a veiled tribute to the great apostle. Last question, question 6. Even though Paul's plans were somewhat disrupted and he was unable to fulfill his intended missions trip to Spain, he came to understand that he was about to finish his race in Rome. This is clear from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, which was written when he was in Rome. It says this, for I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And Romans 15, 29, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Does this provide encouragement or discouragement for us to make plans and goals for our futures? Well, hopefully it will encourage us to realize that even when the plans that we make don't go our way, God's still in control, and no matter how it works out, it's going to ultimately work out for our best and for his glory as we walk with him. Well, as you wrap up this, and hopefully I've sort of rushed through this, but I'm hoping that you will ask supplementary questions, and as people give responses, question their answers, and as they make input, if there's someone who's perhaps gone a bit quiet in the group, direct a question to them so that they can have an opportunity to enter into the discussion as well. It's after that's done that you're going to remind the group of these are the prayer requests that we had at the start of the night. and assign them out, and perhaps other prayer points have come up throughout the discussion as well, which you jotted down. And then closing prayer, if any of those prayer requests are omitted, left, then as group leader, just mop those last prayer requests up and remind people that you'll be meeting for your next meeting, where the next study is Be Prayerful, based on Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 33. I'm Andrew Corbett. If you'd like to interact with me, you can find me on Twitter at Dr. Andrew C. You can also find me on Facebook and the website andrewcorbett.net. Blessings.